It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Got four people dead and no goddamn clue how any of it connects.
I enjoyed it the first time, I enjoyed it this time. Very well done, and like it kept my attention the whole time.
This is the autopsy of an unidentified female, henceforth known as Jane Doe.
Everybody has its story. It's just some of them are more hidden than others.
No lividity.
No rigor mortis either. When do you think she died?
There's always been a rational explanation for every corpse that he's come through. Now, here's this chick.
One thing's for sure, you're not going anywhere.
And just as he reaches that point, his son's like, maybe we should get the fuck out of here, and boom, the lights are gone.
Okay, now we officially know we are fucked. We are not getting rid of this body. Turn to page 43. Oh, it just says, you're fucked.
Sheldon, it's Tommy. You better get over here now.
All the actors are very good. Brian Cox is excellent as usual.
When we cut into her, she tried to stop us each time. It's like there's something she doesn't want us to find.
They've replaced the mirror from Oculus with a corpse.
She's still alive. Alive. On fire. We took out her heart.
My favorite part of the autopsy of Jane Doe is the fucking autopsy of Jane Doe.
No, I'm trying, it's stuck! I can't!
Open up!
I can't!
Open up your heart and let the sun shine.
Welcome back, horror fans. This is Cash Wampum, your host of the Horror 101 show. This is episode 132. We recorded this show on St. Patrick's Day this past month, but no, we're not doing Leprechaun. We did throw around an idea to cover an Irish horror-themed film, but ultimately decided to go with the film from 2016. It's 86 minutes, it's quick, it's tight, it's a decent shocker with good dread, a solid supernatural story that seems familiar but definitely repackaged well. It's claustrophobic, it's got an excellent cast, and for these reasons, we're giving the Horror 101 treatment to Andre Overdahl's The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yeah, so I got things.
What do you got? Oh, Brian Stewart, here, this is for you. Happy St. Patty's Day, wear it.
Oh my God. You know, green's considered an unlucky color.
Alright, your chair. Hey, this is as green as I go, this right here.
Right. Oliver made sure I wore a green shirt. Apparently somebody at school told him, if you don't wear green, you'll get a pinch.
Somebody will pinch you.
St. Patrick's Day. I brought that for us tonight so we could do a shot.
What is it?
Tully. It's not Jameson.
Tullamore Dew?
Yes.
We do a shot?
Yes.
Okay, then.
I got Raiders Tears up on the bar.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So this is early birthday for you.
Oh my God! There's rye! Oh!
And you don't have enough.
A belated birthday
I do now.
For you.
Brian Stewart, thank you for the rye.
And for Nick and I have brought the best stout I've ever had.
There we go.
Why, thank you.
There we go.
Now I wish I can have right
what
now.
What do you got, stout?
Yes, would you like to try
Bailey?
No, thank you. So, well, we figured out that we were going to be getting together on St. Patty's Day, right? So we were like, I'm thinking, well, do we do a fucking cheesy Leprechaun film because it's the day? And then nefarious Paul B. was immediately putting the guillotine on that idea. He's like, no. And I'm thinking, well, if we do one, it's got to be part two.
Actually, you know what? Part two is fairly decent. I know Brian Stewart likes that one.
Part two is the one where he thinks he's sucking the girl's tits, and it's the blade.
I think that's either one or three. It's actually, two. I think that's three.
I looked
three.
It up on YouTube.
Is it? It is two? Okay. But actually, five, Leprechaun in the Hood, was actually a fairly decent film with Ice-T. Ice-T was in. Not Ice Cube, it was Ice-T. Because I remember that, I used to quote that all the time. Curious aroma. When they're in the John and he's smoking the joint. Curious aroma. It's the best shit in town, little man. Have a hit of this. And then they made Leprechaun 6 Back to the Hood.
Yeah.
This was after Leprechaun 4 when they brought him out to fucking space.
Leprechaun in space!
You know?
I was listening to a podcast this morning and they were talking about like their favorite Irish themed films, and one of the guys actually picked that as his favorite one. He notoriously picked shitty films. So that was the one, and the host is like, I've never been angrier at you than I am in this moment.
Than I am right now.
Yeah.
Did anybody catch the cutting room floor?
The 57th cutting room floor? Yeah, it was good.
Jeff Cote. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeff Cote is one of our, bigger benefactors. Bigger and better benefactors, Patreon. So he wanted to shout out. He's got it. He's got it right there. And Erin Conrad just had a birthday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
She's been one of our biggest benefactors for years. You know, she loves the show. So happy birthday. Happy belated birthday to her.
There you go.
Yeah, and I told, if you listen to the cutting room floor, I'm like, listen, if it weren't for you guys with your pledges, this show would not continue.
Yeah.
This show would not continue. It's their pledges that allow us to keep hosting the show. You know, and keeping things going. So the show is just as much theirs as it is ours, you know, because without them, we're done. So there you have it.
Oh, also,
probably give you vibes.
As a sidebar, we've had a recommendation for a movie.
By?
Naomi. Harris.
Oh, Strange.
Strange.
Yes.
She said, if you ever do Jacob's Ladder and don't invite her to sit in, she will cut you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She wants in?
Yeah.
That movie's fucked.
But is it a horror?
It's a psychological horror.
Sure. I mean, that was the first movie that had this. That was the first movie that had this effect. That was the first movie that had that effect, which was very effective, right?
Thing in the fucking bag, you know.
The whole tentacle porn with his wife dancing and shit like that. It was out Pena, something.
Pena?
Elizabeth Pena.
Yes, Pena.
She passed away a few years ago.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
So let us get to the meat and potatoes at hand.
We're here to watch a movie?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were just catching up and
drinking.
Yes. Oh, I thought we're leaving.
Bye. Nude, what are we watching?
Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yeah, and we watched this a few years back, right? We were impressed. You know, and I remember reading the reviews. People were like, "Man, it was okay." I'm like, oh, just okay.
Yeah.
It's only 86 minutes. It's a fast watch.
It's really tight.
Brian Cox, you know, in a film that just... It's odd to see a man of his caliber in a film like this.
Well, because he was also in Trick or Treat.
He was great in Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
So was Dylan Biff.
For a fraction of it.
But it's also very different than Trick or Treat.
Yeah. He was in a fraction of it. But yeah, this film was like different.
Does it take place over St. Patrick's Day?
No.
I don't think so. Well, we were thinking, do we do Leprechaun? He was like, no. I'm like, do we do Leprechaun 2, 3, 4 in space, 5 in the Hood, space 6 back to the Hood?
Paul loves space.
And then they did another one in 2018 that didn't have Warwick Davis. Apparently there's another one on the horizon.
There was another one that came out a few years ago with the midget wrestler that was in WWE.
Oh, God. You're getting us canceled. We can't say midgets.
I'm sorry. Short person.
Little person.
Little person's not a pejorative? What the hell?
Dwarf. Is it dwarf? Looking for his gold in his caves.
So WWE Studios remade Leprechaun.
Yeah.
With Hornswoggle is the character's name.
Hornswoggle.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready for this film? Are we going to watch it?
Go right for this.
I'm glad that, I'm used to you not seeing, not having seen a film that we...
Well, keep me around, though.
Actually, you've been doing pretty good. Last few films, Armageddon.
Warlock, I've seen the first one, but not the second one.
But before that, you were like, I've seen this, so...
Yeah.
But Brian Stewart, I'm surprised that this hadn't come on your radar in the last 6-7 years at all.
I think you'll like it, Brian. I think, I have a feeling you'll
especially if you're always harping on about that game, you'll probably like it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm probably going to have that in the back of the mind. Watching this now, I'm wanting to see, because the game came out obviously after this, if they took any cues from this movie.
Oh, more than likely,
because this movie is the game is framed really well.
I didn't expect a lot of the stuff that happened.
No, it was on my radar. Just never got around to watching it.
This is what we're here for. Sleeper Hits, right?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Last Shift.
Last Shift. Yeah. Yep.
Good.
Yep. Is everybody ready to watch this film?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah? 90-minute autopsy. Let's go.
Are you ready for it, Brian Stewart? Yes. You guys haven't seen it? I hope you guys. I really hope you guys will like it.
Marks.
This is not what I was expecting. Can I see one?
No.
What's that for?
Make sure he's dead.
Sheriff, what happened?
No ID, no fingerprints in the system.
For now, she's a Jane Doe.
He needs my help right now. 11 o'clock, I'm all yours. Subject is in her mid to late 20s. Hair brown.
Black blood warning now.
Eyes. Gray.
What happened to you?
First, they bound her. Then they ripped out her tongue, poisoned her, paralyzed her, forced her to swallow the cloth.
What is that?
Dad?
No one could see what we have seen.
Sir, no relation to Paul and Carol.
Who's she?
Well, for now, she's a Jane Doe. You got something?
Nothing was stolen. Not a scratch on the outside of the house either. Doesn't look like someone broke in. To me, it looks like they were trying to break out.
The beginning of the film is morose, where the cops are showing up at something bad, like there's bodies all over the place, you know, just horrible trauma, blood everywhere. It's like, what the fuck's going on? And then you got this partially buried young lady. It's like, okay, well, I don't know what's up with this. It's like, okay, well, obviously that's Jane Doe, because the movie's called The Autopsy of fucking Jane Doe.
Open them up. See here, down below the occipital.
Fracture. That explains the swelling in his brain.
Subdural hematoma. That's what did. Not the smoke. Everybody has a secret. Some just hide them better than others.
Some people are better at finding them.
You did good. You'll get there.
Nobody's even claimed him yet. He was all alone. That's why he died.
He died because he fell and hit his head.
So they bring Tilden, right? The last name was Tilden. Yeah. Brian Cox and his son there. Awesome. Obviously, Brian Cox has been the coroner for that town for like decades.
And he took it over from his father.
Yeah, it's like four generations of doing the whole coronership out of their family home kind of deal. And it's like, yeah, I need the, you know, and they just get done a case figuring out how, what the body they were working on, the son thought it was a smoke inhalation. It's like, no, it was a
subdural hematoma.
Thank you.
He banged his head.
I like the banter between the two of them at the very beginning, like laying the groundwork of their relationship. Brian Cox doesn't know this son's planning to leave. We don't know that his son's planning to leave. But he's still walking him through. He's being patient. He's being, trying to guide him as to, you know, make sure, just because you see something doesn't mean that that's what it actually is.
Yeah, the apprenticing.
You know? Right, yeah. And it's, you know, it's patient, it's kind.
Yeah.
It's what a father would do for his son, for, especially for a generational business like that. So I just like the way that they laid out the relationship between the two of them. And us not knowing that the whole thing is, to begin with, very fragile anyway, because the son's planning to leave.
Are these all people?
Just three tonight.
Can I see one?
Well, no, no, you cannot see one.
Why not?
Because there's some things you can't unsee, okay?
Come on, I can handle it.
No, no. And my dad, he's way too strict.
Try me. So, what'll it be?
Oh, are you serious?
Are you?
Hell yeah.
Pick one.
They establish the father-son relationship fairly well. There's enough about the girlfriend that I like the characters quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's charming and they're good, well-developed characters. You get to know who they are and kind of what they're about very early on without much work. So the beats of the screenplay are all there. Like, yep. Yeah, it's pretty
solid. Intro, they set the scene, they give you an idea of the environment.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is where you're going to be locked for the next hour and a half. You know, it's a single setting, which we know some of us are particularly partial to.
Yeah, it's filmed on a budget. It's effective.
Yeah.
What's that for?
Make sure he's dead. There used to be a time it was hard to tell a comatose person from a dead one. So coroners tied bells to everybody in the morgue. So if they heard a ting, they knew somebody down there wasn't quite ready to go.
So why do you have one?
I'm a bit of a traditionalist.
There are a couple of scenes early that made me like these characters instantly, because this type of movie doesn't work unless we kind of latch onto these characters quickly. And for me, I really like the gag at the beginning with Pick a Corpse. I really like that moment. There's something completely human about that moment, and the father being a bit of a jackal.
Any corpse, they do three card money. That's with corpses.
Where's the queen? Where's the lady? Where's the lady? It's so good.
Where's the mesothelioma?
That's it. Man, and she's like, no, that one. I pick, and I want to pick this one. And they go with the guy with the head wound. And they explain the story of the bell, and it's the only telling of the tale we get, really. And just as she's about to lift it off, you forget it, it just jingles the bell, and it just shows the father for being a bit of a dick, right?
Yeah, but it also sets up a plot device that's going to come back repeatedly throughout
and
the film.
Best way you hide a plot device is to hide it in a joke.
Sheriff.
Where's your dad?
What happened?
Bring you back here, Sheldon.
Dad, if you need me to stay.
Oh, don't worry about it. You two go have your fun.
You know what? I love mystery, and I like how, like, you start off with a mysterious situation. Here you go. Here's the body that's come out of this mysterious situation. And it's like, okay, well, let's work on this tonight. We need an answer to this tonight.
I got four people dead and no goddamn clue how any of it connects.
Nobody's pissing in your grits here, Shal. But we do have protocol.
Press is going to need answers on this in the morning, and I got nothing. Now, they'll buy a 1079. I can give them a B&E gone haywire. But what I can sell is her.
Time frame?
It's got to be tonight.
Okay. You didn't have to come back. I know.
This is the autopsy of an unidentified female, henceforth known as Jane Doe.
And, like, the body of this lady is pristine. She's white, and she's got gray eyes, which means she's been dead for a long time. But she's got no rigor mortis.
No
outward trauma on the exterior of her body at all. It's like, okay, well, immediately this doesn't make sense, but let's carry on. You know, let's cut her open and see what's up, you know.
Well, first they determined that her wrists and her ankles were shattered.
That's right. Yep. So she had been bound. She had been bound to the point of being shattered, and she had worn a corset for the longest time, and her waist didn't match the rest of her body.
Then they opened up her mouth and noticed her tongue's gone.
The tongue was crudely cut off. Yes.
They noticed the peat under her nails, which was different.
You only get this up north, right? The peat, right? And she had a molar removed. I like how her nose starts bleeding and it's because a fucking fly's coming out of her.
And you just see the first of the leg poke out.
And I'm like, what the fuck is? I thought maybe it was a spider or something.
I was going to say, my money was on spider, but I'm like, you know, fly works.
Ursula beetle.
Nasal passages, no sign of inflammation, no fluid, no foreign substances, and ear canals are clear.
Could you imagine somebody being your agent going, yeah, we got a part for you in this film, but you got to be naked most of the time, and we're going to paint you white, and you can't fucking move. That's your part, you know?
Well, I was just, like I said, I was reading this about her.
So have to be very confident in your tits, because we're going to see a lot of them.
Her name was Olwyn Kelly, so it's obviously she's Swedish or whatever. And the director felt it was necessary to have an actress for the part to help connect to the audience on the human level. On some level, the decision was also a practical one, as the director, I can't remember his name, believed that doing some of the close-up scenes with a prosthetic would have been impossible. The director said that Kelly had the most difficult role in the film, and he credited her with making everyone everyone else comfortable on the set, because she's fucking naked the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
She was also the first person interviewed for the film, and the director said after they performed further interviews, he instantly knew she was right for the role. One of the reasons she was selected was her knowledge of yoga, which helped her control her body and breathing. So she wasn't a contortionist, she went to yoga.
So she could hold her breath and look like she was dead.
And dead.
For more than 5 to 10 seconds at a time. And that's basically all you needed.
We'll now proceed with the internal examination.
Starting with the heart and lungs. Help me with the plot.
You know what? My favorite scene of the autopsy of Jane Doe is the fucking autopsy of Jane Doe. Every second that they spend looking at her exterior, checking her eyes, checking for her fucking lack of rigor mortis, cutting her open, checking out her organs. And Newt doesn't like surgery. How were you with all the surgery shit?
I kept looking over at her.
I was looking away for a lot of it.
Yeah?
There was ankle.
Which part did you not like the most? Because they're cutting her open and taking shit out.
Yeah,
what?
The ribs.
The rib cutter?
Yeah. I looked over at her and I heard her.
Oh, with the...
And I just saw her.
Yeah. I can watch any horror movie. I can watch Beheaded. I can watch Disemboweled. I can... Any type of trauma I could watch, I mean, except for teeth trauma, but, and that doesn't bother me. If I watch surgery, cannot deal with
it. If you want to kill someone, you shoot them, poison them, drown them. A million easy ways. You don't go to these lengths unless you want to make them suffer.
You get the feel. He even says it at the beginning. It's like everybody has its story. It's just some of them are more hidden than others. So you get the feeling that out of hundreds, if not thousands, of autopsies that this old man has done, he's never been shocked. You know, like there's always been a rational explanation for every corpse that he's come through. Now here's this chick.
First they bound her, then they ripped out her tongue. Poisoned her, paralyzed her, forced her to swallow the cloth, then the cuts, the internal mutilation, stabs. Then, as if that wasn't enough, they burned her. Almost like a human sacrifice.
And from the get-go, nothing makes sense. And at the beginning, it's like, well, this is curious. Well, this is curious. This is really curious. It's like, well, okay, now this is curious but disturbing. This is just completely disturbing. And just as he reaches that point, and his son's like, maybe we should get the fuck out of here. And boom, and the lights are gone.
One thing's for sure, you're not going anywhere.
At the end, I like, oh, I got no service. We can't open the door. The elevator doesn't work. And it's like, oh, we got a landline. I'm like, yeah, we got a landline.
Not only a landline, a rotary phone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God we got a dial tone. Hey, we reached the cops.
Now, this is Tommy Tilden. It's an emergency. We need help.
Sorry, trouble hearing.
Put Burke on the line.
It's Burke.
Sheldon, it's Tommy. You better get over here now. Sheldon, Sheldon, we're trapped down here, Doctor. Sheldon, please.
And then he does the whole book, 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 book. It's like, that never fucking works. All that does is hang up your fucking phone. You get a broken
dial. Yeah, but it's nice to see that in a movie because you never see that anymore.
I know.
Because it's back in the 1940s.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Mabel? So they reach help, but help doesn't know what the fuck's going on, right? So it's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. And then you hear the bell. It's the bell, right? The only reason the bell's ringing is if the corpse fucking walking around down here, right? There's a fucking corpse on the other side of that door, Dad. What the hell do we do kind of deal?
And then dumbass is looking underneath like, why? You can still see the crack under the door.
Yeah.
It's her. Oh, that's not possible.
Her body? Those things we found inside, those were impossible. Whatever the hell happened in here... We are way past possible. It's her.
So, what do we do?
I liked when they tried to set her on fire.
Yeah?
Yeah,
because it like they're basically like, oh, we gotta get her to the crematorium, and then you see the deadbolt. Clothes and he's like, fuck it. So you just see him dump it all over. But just how it goes from like, this is how it should burn, to suddenly there's a column of flame that spreads all the way across the ceiling.
Burns everything.
But it also almost strategically targets the evidence. Yeah. It takes out the camera. It the burns photos. Half the Polaroids. You know. It burns all those things, and then you just see it slowly, slowly. Like, you know, while they're focusing on putting out whatever was on the floor, it just slowly goes down, and the body's just in pristine condition again.
Yeah.
Did anybody think? Sorry. Did anybody think Daenerys Targaryen at that point in time?
Yes.
Mother of Dragons. My first thought.
You can't burn me.
No, I just thought the way that they did that scene was really well done. Because then it's just like, okay, now we officially know we are fucked. We are not getting rid of this body. Like, destroying it is not an option.
Let's dump her into the ocean.
Turn to page 43. Oh, it just says, you're fucked. Well, they kind of pulled the... After a while, they got the whole unreliable narrator thing going on because people were seeing things that other people weren't, and one person's seeing and hearing this, and the other person's not, so...
And then, sure enough, it's like, oh my God, I just killed your girlfriend. Like, oh shit. Did he apologize? He apologized.
He did, yeah.
But at that time, like, nobody knows what the fuck's going on. Like, and obviously, the kid, like... You know what I liked about that scene is that there was no "Oh my God, what did you do?" moment because he knows what was happening.
Yeah,
what? The kid knows what was happening.
What bothered me though about that is that the elevator wasn't working. How did she get down there?
Yeah,
you know, it was like Demons. Remember in Demons, nobody could get out until those fucking thugs were outside and they needed to get away from the cops. All of a sudden, doors open. Come on in. Doors close again. Now you're stuck with everybody else. It's the same fucking thing.
And who knows, like, maybe she would have come down and she might have been trying to pull a joke on him like he had done earlier on her. You know, like, that's why she didn't call for him or whatever.
Yeah, but there was no indication that she was freaked out because she saw or heard something down there.
So she might be perfectly normal. from her. You don't know.
And we don't know what was, like, really happening and what was just in their minds.
In their minds, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They've replaced the mirror from Oculus with a corpse. It's the thing that caused all the supernatural.
He's too far away
for
me to punch.
He's right.
It's the same thing.
He's right.
Yeah, it's the, like the body itself is the MacGuffin of the film.
It's what's generating all the supernatural effects. And every time you try to destroy the body, you can't, and it outwits you, and it tricks you into doing things you wouldn't normally do. There's a lot of, I see a lot of parallels to Oculus in this.
But then they actually get to the elevator, and I heard Brian Stewart, because the power failure stopped the elevator from working, and then all of a sudden they had enough power. Oh, hey, the elevator's working, let's get in there. Then the elevator, like, half shuts, then the power goes out. Brian Stewart's like, oh, fuck, really? He's like, oh, fuck, he's all pissed off. He's like, why?
I like that sequence.
Why hasn't she killed us yet?
Well, if I want to try.
Now look what she can do. She wanted us dead. When we cut into her, she tried to stop us each time. It's like there's something she doesn't want us to find.
You want to go back in there?
If we stay here, we're dead. We could just figure out how she died. Maybe we can figure out how to stop.
But I like how it's like, you know what? You and me, Dad, let's do this right now. Yeah. We're scared to death. We're hurting. We're all fucked up. We're trapped in here. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if we can fix the situation. But you know what? God damn it. That's enough. Mm-hmm. Let's try. Let's try and finish this and get out of the situation.
That's why we couldn't find cause of death.
Alive. We lit her on fire. We took out her heart.
Something. Some energy. Call it what you want. Something's keeping her going.
She's got. They took a sample of her brain, and there's still molecules moving around. Yeah. She's still alive. So whatever you do to her, she can feel it. And she's probably pissed off.
Well,
right?
She'd be pissed off that we have to be set on fire.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Or cut open and shit taken out of her, right? You know?
Like, you can even make the argument. Sorry.
Okay.
I was going to say, you can even make the argument that if there is any sense of rationality in her, that she could understand why the autopsy was happening. Because at that point, they had no clue, right?
Right.
But when the fire happens, they're like, oh, we fucking fully know what's happening right now. And now we're just doing this just to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And then she's perpetually pissed off at that point because you fuckers just set me on fire.
Well,
I can excuse everything else that happened because you were just trying to figure this out. You had no clue.
Yeah, but he noticed that things were trying to deter them from continuing their autopsy.
Yeah, but that was only when they're in the office. Stop them from hurting her further, but they didn't know.
They didn't know that.
So if anything, that was like gentle, like smack in the hand, like no.
Like a fly buzzing around you, just getting rid of it. You don't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know. But then when the fire happens, like, no, you fuckers have gone a step too far here.
No, I will kill you.
Leviticus. 20:27.
That's my only problem with the film, is they come to the conclusion really quickly.
Yeah.
There's not much... As soon as, like, they come back in and then, you know, they look
well,
at
well, hold
the
on a second.
Again.
They had to go... they had to check out Leviticus 27.
Yeah,
to
but...
To put it, that piece
they,
together.
They had their Scooby-Doo moment where he folded the thing and realized...
Right, but then then all of a sudden he folds it over again. He realizes the date, 17th century, and immediately clicks into Salem.
Which is our myth.
You can't keep denying.
There were no witches in Salem. There were kids, young girls, falsely accused, wrapped up in hysteria. One pointing to the next, who pointed to the next. But they were all innocent.
If you're in New England around that time, that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I know, but still, it just seems like it was a really quick leap to get there. I understand constraints of the film, I get it, but...
It's like being around here in War of 1812 shit, like, you know. Yeah, it's literally plaster, there's plaques when we're driving by, like, you can't escape that shit.
Yeah.
If you're in New England, trust me, that shit is everywhere.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
It's
I
like, remember when we did that really fucked up thing to those young girls?
You won't believe what this tree was used for. Oh, my God, plaque.
What if the ritual performed on an innocent accidentally created the very thing that we're trying to destroy? Everything they did to her, everything we've done to her, she can feel it. She wants us to feel it. That's why she's keeping us alive. This is her revenge. This is her ritual. But why us? Why the Douglases? Why anybody? We were on a path, that's all. We were just stops along the way. Those who survived got rid of her, buried her as far away as possible.
That hasn't stopped her.
Because no one got close enough. No one could see what we have seen.
So I wonder, like, how many times has this body been defiled and attempted to be destroyed?
Well, since 1783.
For 400 years?
Yeah.
For 400 years, people have come across this body and for some reason tried to destroy it, failed, and in that attempt, died themselves.
I mean, that's what they set up at the end, right?
At the end of the film, when, you know, you hear something coming through the door and they've put two and two together and they figured out that this corpse is definitely causing all this mayhem... Brian Cox, looks into her eyes and said, listen, leave him alone. Like, I'll do anything. I won't fight you. Whatever you need.
You can take me.
You can take. Just don't hurt my kid. And then all of a sudden...
She reneged on her promise, though.
Well,
because technically they broke the deal because he killed him before she was done with him.
So she fixes herself by inflicting the pain or damage that she's received from other people. Because it started with his hands and feet fucking snapping.
Yeah.
And then I guess his internal organs are getting the same shit that she's had dealt with, you know. And then he stabs his old man to stop the suffering, I guess. But she's already healing. If you will, you know.
But that's I think why she went after the sun was because like even her eyes were changing back to normal.
Yeah.
Like the indication is that if she was able to complete whatever process she was going through with Brian Cox, she might have been back to normal because even the scarring was disappearing on the organs.
Yeah, but at the same, the fact that this is happening and it happened obviously to the people at the beginning of the
film.
But
has anybody ever before offered themselves to save somebody else?
You don't know because you're picking up in the middle of the story.
Exactly. But the thing is, her eyes were going brown again. Like she was going back to normal, and then by killing him, he interrupted that process.
The whole process, yeah.
So that's why I think she killed him in the end.
All right, just open up the door now.
It's stuck. I can't, it won't!
Should open up now! No. Open up!
No, I'm trying, it's stuck!
Open up!
I can't!
Open up!
I can't!
Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. So let the sun shine. Face it to me. Mine is never, brighter than, so let the sun shine.
my favorite scene is at the end when he, Austin, tries to escape and he hears them, you know, knocking, it's stuck. And then the song plays, and then when his father appears. And my take on that particular scene is that whether his dad was lucid or just a spirit, whatever it was, because if he's the only one left, he would be blamed for everything that was going on. So I think that's why he kind of killed his son.
Yeah, when I first saw this, I thought that was going to be the end. Like, the cops would break in, because after he kills his old man, the lights are on, the cops are there, normal, and it's like, it's nothing but bodies and him covered in blood.
Yeah.
So it was like, you're
fucked.
You've done this, you're going to jail, and that's the end of it, and this Jane Doe just flowed off to another location to fucking wreak havoc. But it didn't go that way. He was sacrificed as well.
Yeah, so I think that spiritually, however you want to explain it, that I think his father, you know, in death, or his father's spirit, saved him from what was going to happen by killing him.
Yeah, so yeah. By scaring him so badly that he fell to his death.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take on that.
That's why I think that's probably one of my favorite scenes, just because that's exactly what I thought about it.
And it is creepy, where it's like, okay, hey, yeah, we're coming in, we're going to save you. And then all of a sudden, like, the voice changed to that fucking singing of that song. Is like, oh my, what is the fuck, man? I thought you were here to save me. I'm still in danger.
Yeah, and he backs out and he tries to go. All of a sudden, he feels it, and it's like, dad scares him, but it's like, I think that's exactly what the intention was.
Which was, and anybody that suggested this was the same as Oculus, at the end of Oculus, the brother takes the fall for shit he didn't do. Whereas in this one, it could have went that way.
But it didn't.
But he was actually sacrificed to the situation.
Yeah.
What the hell happened here?
What do you want to do with her?
Get her out of here.
Where do you got a car waiting? There's that funeral home over in Roxton.
Get her out of my county. Take her over to VCU. That board will mind deal with her.
That's the Annabelle moment. That's the only time where, through the entire film, you're thinking she might talk, her eyes might open, close, she might move. You don't get any of that shit, except at the very end, which I think is a detriment to the film, is her toe shakes.
It's a detriment one way, but I also think it ties into the fact that this has happened repeatedly for generations.
Oh, we know that.
But, I mean, that's the cementing of it.
But what circumstance can you come up with where this body would just kind of turn up in somebody else's possession?
See, I would have ended it slightly differently.
You're going to presume after this that either the van crashes on the way to the University of Kentucky,
right,
or something happens at the University, and then the same thing, they're going to have to move the corpse.
All I wanted to see was actually them pull back and show an exterior shot of the van just driving down the road and disappearing into the horizon, meaning that she's going to go on and this is going to happen again somewhere else.
It's set up that way anyway.
Yeah,
but it would have been a much better shot.
No obvious signs of forced entry. Looks an awful lot like you.
I've known this family 20 years. Whatever it looks like, that ain't it.
Bit of a downer ending, but then again, for a short horror film, it's fine. If it was a 2-hour film and they gave me that ending, I'd be like, why do we sit through all of this? But for a short horror film, that ending works. You don't want a long horror film with a miserable ending, because it feels like you went through an ordeal for nothing.
It feels like all those short films that kind of popped up on, like, YouTube and like the different video services that they tried to stretch out to a full movie, like Lights Out and Mama.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this feels like one of those, but actually expanded.
Lights Out sucked, considering how good that short film was.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I could see this as being a short story.
Yeah.
But they didn't stretch it out too long.
No.
They didn't overdo it. It was a very slow burn. Yeah, no, it was good. I like it.
So you're saying that's not the COD?
I'm saying, look before you leap.
Nude, you want to score this for us?
I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
7.5.
Yes. Too much surgery for me.
Oh, come on now. That's your personal preference, yeah, of course.
And the cat too. So I didn't like that.
It was quick and necessary. Maybe not necessary, but it was quick.
Still awful. And
as she has a cat laying sleeping on her right now.
But no, I mean, I enjoyed it the first time. I enjoyed it this time. Very well done, and like it kept my attention the whole time. And the supernatural part I really, really liked. And I think the actors they did well. Everybody had a purpose. No one was there for fluff, I don't think. It was good. I mean, enjoyed it probably a little bit more the second time.
Yeah.
Safe for, you know, the cat and the surgery, but.
Safe for like 90% of the film you see.
Would you watch it again?
I would.
Yeah?
I would, absolutely. I would watch it again. Yeah.
Thank you, Newt.
Yeah. Look who's easy now. You should have seen the look on your face.
I can't wait to see the look on your face. I'm not getting late.
Wait, whoa, hold on. Not even if I ply you with popcorn and Sour Patch Kids?
Nefarious Paul B.
I'm going to go half a point higher than Helen and go to an 8. Excuse me. I really liked it. It's a fun horror film, but it's not like a... There's very little humor in it. It's, in parts, pretty grotesque, just in the autopsy part of it. Like, nothing you see on the scary part of it is grotesque. With maybe the exception of the girlfriend getting the axe in the chest, just because of what that means.
Yeah, but you don't see the aftermath,
you don't actually see the axe.
Yeah, you don't actually see the blow. All the actors are very good. Brian Cox is excellent as usual. Yeah, it's atmospheric, it's tight. You know,
86 minutes.
86 minutes, so under an hour and a half. Yeah, it's a good little film. Something that people should...
Just skirts the line of what you need to technically be a feature film.
Yeah, 80 minutes plus.
Yeah, it's a good little film. It's certainly something that people probably haven't heard of, or maybe if they have, I don't really want to watch it, you know, whatever. But they should definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely watch this one, certainly. Yeah,
it's a good little film.
That's why we're covering it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Leave the why to the cops and the shrinks. We're just here to find cause of death. No more, no less.
Cult Sensation, your score, please.
I'm gonna go to an 8 on this one too.
Yeah.
It honestly, most of the criticisms that I had about Warlock do not apply to this one. It's tight. It knows what its tone is. Like you said, aside from like when you're setting up the characters, there's that little bit in the very beginning. Literally the only kind of joke in the whole thing, and it's morbid as fuck. And from there on, it knows what it is, it knows what it wants to be, and it stays in that tone. Like, it doesn't shift back and forth between, like, borderline slapstick and trying to be, like, you know, uber, uber serious. Like, the stakes don't seem very big, and honestly, like, it's nice because it's like a little pocket film, you know? It's like, yeah, obviously the body's being hauled away at the end. Murder, mischief, and mayhem may also occur at another spot.
Probably will.
But for all intents and purposes, it's fairly bald. The stakes are personal. It really only applies to them. There is a mystery behind it. The acting is fantastic. I am a sucker for a single setting. You know, when there's only one or two acts, like there's very few, the IMDb has 10 credits, including the cat. Yeah, like it hits a lot of the, you know, the classic notes. You know, like we talked, like it's got, you know, homages to The Shining, Signs, or like any movie where anybody's looked underneath the door, but they're handled well. The editing is reserved, it's not super over the top, the sound design is good. Yeah, just overall, like aside from like a couple little pacey things and the cat thing, like, I really don't have a lot to complain about this movie.
And this was your first time seeing it?
First time seeing it, yep.
Would you watch it again?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll probably recommend this and probably watch it with somebody else, but, I guess an 8. Thumbs up.
Burke needs a COD tonight. We're not even close. When we start something, we finish it.
Brian Stewart?
I feel like Nick and I have switched places over the last few movies, but knee-jerk number for me, but my heart says 7. I don't think I enjoyed it quite as everyone else. I do like it. I would watch it again. I think, for personally, it just suffers from the fact that what this movie does, I have other movies that I like that do it slightly better in every aspect. I would rather watch Last Shift again than this. If I want a slow atmospheric burn, I'd rather watch Legend of Hell House than this. But it's still good. I see elements of this in other movies from the period, and it feels kind of cobbled together. The autopsy aspect is unique, though. I don't think I've seen in the movie that centers solely around an autopsy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
The effects alone.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a thin, threadbare story, though, otherwise. I mean, the premise is exciting.
I
wish we got more of the mystery. Like Helen says, the wrap-up is too quick. From the moment they go to, we need to finish this, to, oh my god, she's a witch. It's like, whoa. Maybe a little fast. It comes too quick. They kind of, for a movie that's only 86 minutes long, they really do rush the ending. But overall, it's atmospheric as hell. It's a fun ride. I'd watch it again. It's not perfect. Performances are great. I love the cinematography. It's a great looking horror film. Yeah. I like the flickering light effects. I like the fact that it's dark. I like that we have to kind of, you know, squint to make out what's going on necessarily, because that makes it more terrifying. But it's never to the point where it's like, you know, you're not irritated by the fact you can't see what's going on. It's that walks that fine line. There are some movies where it's like, I can't see a damn thing. What the hell? It's just bad cinematography or the color palette's all wrong. This just looks great. And I still contend that the elevator looked unnecessarily creepy. I wanted a plain coat of paint in that stupid elevator. But otherwise, like I say, I realize I probably didn't enjoy it as much as everyone else. But it's just, I think, as much as I like it, there are other movies I can point to where I kind of wanted to watch the other movie. You know what I mean?
That's okay. We forgive you.
Yeah. So, kudos to Brian Cox, because I don't know how he came across this screenplay, but good on him to love this and not just immediately dismiss it.
Yeah.
To not to throw away, oh, cheesy horror film. I'm not doing that. More actors need to look at projects and say, what can I bring to the table?
First thing tomorrow, I'll bring him in, but for now, she's the priority.
Well, still, it would have been nice to take a look at the crime scene.
I'll give it an 8. I'm glad we did this one. I'm with Nude. Like, I liked it just as much, if not more, the second time I watched it. You know, and it's not that everything is fresh. It was kind of a fresh take on shit that I've already seen before. And I just wrote down a few notes here. Hold on a sec here. There we go. Yeah, there's elements here, like we're dealing with a corpse that's been wronged, and because it's been wronged, it's laying a curse on other people that's lasting centuries. Reminds me of like Mario Bava's Black Sunday. You know, where, remember that, where they curse, they put that witch, they call her a witch to death, and her spirit comes back to fuck with people in that castle over and over and over again. But at the same time, it reminds me of Lord of Illusions, Clive Barker, Lord of Illusions,
yeah,
where you can see that people know that there's an evil present in this body, and they've taken steps to try to bind her, you know, to try to bind the evil and make sure that it can't come back to do what we see it doing over and over, mm-hmm, and over again. It's the evil's trying to be, has been tried, attempted to be bound, and it's failed. And we're seeing the last, not maybe not final, but the last most recent incarnation of the evil of this body. And there was definitely elements of Last Shift. You know, Last Shift was a young rookie cop dealing with a haunted police station. Mm-hmm. And we know that perpetrators that were arrested and brought to the establishment helped with infest the building with evil. Other than that, it was kind of a gray area. In this film, this body is definitely the reason the fit has hit the shan. You know, that's the main difference between Last Shift and this film.
Yeah. Also, I like the fact that in the setting, it's not like, you know, like this is like a coroner's office or blah, 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 or anything like that. Literally, the only two ways to get out are rickety old elevator and spiral staircase to, you know, storm doors.
Storm doors, yes. Yes, like you know, and you can't get out.
Nope.
You can't get out. So, yeah, I would recommend this film. 86 minutes. It's definitely worth your time. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I would say 10% of the people who are horror fans might watch this and not like it. The other 90 would definitely like it. You know, that's a safe bet.
This autopsy will be conducted in four stages, beginning with an external evaluation, followed by an internal evaluation of the heart and lungs, the digestive organs, and finally, the brain.
My friends, that is the end of our 132nd episode, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, from director Andre Overdahl, starring Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch. Are there better movies out there with a similar premise? The answer is yes. Does this film give a fresh take on familiar horror themes? Absolutely. Autopsy is a brief yet powerful study of a supernatural dread forcing a father and son into an impossible struggle of life and death. Cox and Hirsch are written well and do their very best to make this tiny film much greater than it deserves to be. We say you should check it out. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wompom saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
I think it's fair to say I like Cox.
Please end the film with that.
That's going in this. That'll be the end. It's like, yeah. How much Cox do you like, Brian Stewart? Big Cox, little Cox, lots of Cox.
Well, just this one.
Just this Cox?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all we need.